tonight, we're going to be over in Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. We'll read a few verses and skip around just a little bit. And we'll see what the Lord says to us here. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. Listen carefully to the Word of God. He says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, that they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Boy, isn't that rampant in our day today? So many people just offended by the things of God. They don't want to hear it. And if you don't watch out, they'll offend you, hurt your feelings too. But he says, "Therefore, I'm full of the fury of the Lord. I'm weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that's full of days. Their houses shall be turned into others, and their fields and wives together. For I'll stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given unto covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." Well, you know the things in America that used to bring shame on people's face and embarrass folks, it don't bother them anymore. Ungodliness has crept in, and I hate to say it, and a lot of folk don't like to hear it, but television's one of the biggest evils that your kids will ever sit in front of. Amen. And that's just the day that we live in. There's a great parallel right here to Jeremiah's day and our day. And I think it's something that we need to look at closely tonight. He said, going on, "They could not, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Now, God has given Jeremiah, through the first series of chapters here, He's given him several messages here to the people. Just laying it out flat. Just telling them what their problems are. And I like preachers that don't beat around the bush. I don't care for ear-tickling preachers. We need preachers today that'll tell you the truth. And in this day right here, these folks didn't like what they heard. And let me tell you, in the day that we live in today, there's folks that'll listen to preaching, and if it offends them, they'll hit the door and they won't come back. And that's kind of the way it was in Jeremiah's day. He was hated. He was beaten. He was brokenhearted. He was bound. He was in prison. He was rejected. But yet he kept pressing on for some 40 years. He kept preaching truth. And he didn't compromise. He kept laying it out just as God had given it to him. And you know what? Jeremiah never had a convert. Never had a convert. Never had a pat on the back telling him, "Boy, you're doing a good job." It was right the opposite. And, you know, hard preaching's not popular. I thank God there's still a few folks that wants to hear it. Jeremiah come to a point in his life that he just wanted to quit. But he said he couldn't. The Word of God was like a fire burning down in his bones, he said. And he couldn't hold back. He just kept pressing on. 13 times in the book of Jeremiah, he mentions backsliding more than any other book in your Bible. Accusing the people of going backward instead of forward.
And let me tell you something, if you're not careful in the day that we live, you'll find yourself going backwards. Amen. Not forward, backwards, backsliding. And you know, it's a job to keep yourself in line. Amen. It's a job to keep yourself in fellowship with God and to keep the world pushed out. We live in a day just exactly like Jeremiah lived in here. And Jeremiah's message right here was not to the world. It was to God's people. And so I think on a Wednesday night, probably most everybody here is saved. I hope so. But I want you to hear what God is saying to us in America today as God's people. We live in a wicked day. There's compromise. There's counterfeits. There's liberalism, modernism, heathenism, every kind of ism going on in the world today the devil's got going. And we have to defend against it. Amen? And God has given us the charge that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Contend for it. Why? Because there's a battle. The devil is battling against the faith of God. The devil, hey, let me tell you something. He's got his messengers inside churches everywhere today, compromising on the Word of God. That's why we're so dogmatic about the King James Bible today. It is the Word of God. It's proved itself. And why do we need another translation? One that changes the true meaning of God's Word. You better beware of people that come up with a different kind of Bible. Just stick with the old King James Bible. Amen. You might say, well, there's things in there hard to understand. I say amen to that. But I tell you what I've done before. There's been things that I've come across in the Word of God that's left me scratching my head. I've prayed and asked God to give me some light on it. And you know what? He's given me some light. He'll help you in the Word of God. You can't get enough studying. You can't get enough praying and looking into the Word of God. It'll help you along life's way. The devil's got so many things today to deter people away from the house of God and from the things of God. And I'm telling you, America's in a mess today. The home, many homes today is in chaos today. Not because of the Word of God and being faithful to God, but because of a lack of it. And you know, let me tell you something. The downfall of a nation, I believe, always begins in a home. In the home. If people that are called by God's name turn their back on God and turn to their wicked ways, God has no other option but to bring judgment. God is not going to condone sin. You know, I believe with all my heart that's why America's in a big mess today. Amen. Because the devil has crept in little by little. And he's taken just a little bit here and a little bit there, the standards, the things of God out of this Word right here. Churches and preachers and teachers and the people of God have just let him come on in. Just take a little bit at a time. And you know who's suffering for it? Our children. The generation to follow us. They're the ones that's going to suffer the most. Amen? Well, I want you to notice a few things right here, what was going on in Jeremiah's day. It was a day of compromise. Even though Jeremiah was one that was uncompromising. Even though Jeremiah was prophesying in a day of apostasy, in a day of idolatry, spiritual decline and decay in the nation along with perverted worship. Do you hear what I said? Perverted worship. They'd left the Word of God. They had come to a place in their lives where they didn't want to hear the truth. And there's a lot of perverted worship going on, or so-called worship going on in America today. Amen? You can go find you any kind of church you want to. Amen? One that just fits your sinful life if you'll just keep a looking. Amen? You can find you a preacher that'll tickle your ears, that'll go along with your sin. And boy, it's here today. It was a day of compromise. Notice what he said in chapter 5, verse 31, compromising of the Word of God. He says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Yeah, what's folk going to do one of these days? Just believe the lie. Amen? What's all these folks that's following false doctrine? What are they going to do in the end one day when they stand before God? They're going to find out that they've been told a lie. They're going to find out that they're condemned. That's why we need to stick with what's worked. Amen? The people, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. You know why? You know why some of these big headline preachers can have a church with 30, 40,000 and you never hear them mention hardly anything about sin? It's just a feel-good message every Sunday. Just come on in and we're gonna tickle your ears, make you feel good, and just send you on out just happy-go-lucky. Never mention hell. Never mention that God doesn't condone sin. Never mention that they're heading for judgment one day, but we'll all stand before God one day. People love to have it so. You know what? We live in a day when instead of a church looking for a preacher that'll preach the Word of God, they're looking for an entertainer. A good preacher that can get up and just tell jokes and just make everybody laugh and be happy and send them on their way with a smile on their face. That's the day that we live in. That's what was going on in Jeremiah's day. Took the Word of God out and brought the world in. That's where churches are at today. Compromised on the Word. Compromised on the way. Now look what he said in verse 16. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way. Good way. And walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we'll not walk therein. You see, there was a way that they were once in that they had turned from. And there is a way today, the old path is the good way today. Amen. I like old time preaching. Amen. Holy Ghost preaching. I like old time Holy Ghost praying. I like old time Holy Ghost singing. I just like to come to the house of God and see the Holy Ghost move. That's the old path. I love it. There's no other path for me. But the devil has laid out so many different things in the day that we live. There's some churches today that used to be in the old past. They've turned from it. They've turned to this modern liberal movement that's in the world today. They're putting on their drama teams and the different skits and things going on. They've took the focus off of preaching. There's no conviction in churches anymore. Ain't nobody getting saved. Just come to this easy believism thing. Just come join our church. People dying and going to hell because they've been led and told a lie. Just to get them to feel good. Just so that a ministry can grow to its thousands. Sad day, isn't it? Compromise the Word, compromise the way, and just compromise with the world. World. We live in a day when the world has just taken church after church after church. This is holy ground right here to me. Amen? We ought to reverence the house of God. It makes a difference how we come in these doors. It makes a difference how we act in the house of God. This is a holy place. We come here to worship God, I hope.
We ought to keep it a holy place. We ought to keep this vessel holy. We ought to have great respect, keeping the world out. Notice this right here. Just read you a few verses right here in chapter number 7. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Now you just imagine Jeremiah standing here at one of these doors and saying these words right here. Proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. In other words, the house of God can be a blessing to you. But you got to be right with Him. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the father, the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, and the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. That's why you better be careful who you listen to. Amen? I read some books. Some of these old writers that you can look back and they stood with the stuff. Some of these modern day writers, you better watch them birds. Amen. Amen. He said, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Listen now. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. You hear what that said? God's just going to let us do just exactly what we want to do when we get out yonder in the world, and we just come in here and we can just worship God. Don't work that way. Amen? If you're going to worship God, you're going to have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if the Holy Ghost is grieved in you, there ain't going to be no worship. So it was a day of compromise. But it was also a day of callousness. See, Jeremiah's word was rejected and the false prophets were accepted. Did you know that you can become callous to the Word of God? Amen. Amen. You can get so much, I don't know, I really don't know what really brings it on to a person. But you can come to a place to where you can come to the house of God, Brother Ken, can have one of the best messages that he's ever preached. And it can just fly right over your head when it's supposed to hit you right in the heart. Amen. Calloused. Hardened to the Word of God to where it has no effect. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. For 40 years he wept over what God had to say to His people. Well, the day in which we live, we ought to be a weeping. There ought to be more tears in the day that we live than there's ever been because Jesus is soon to come. We've got loved ones that's lost. We've got friends, we've got family that's lost, that's going to wake up in a devil's hell one of these days. I remember hearing my mother say back in her day when she was a child growing up that the little old church she went to, the altars would be full of mamas and daddies and they'd be crying and calling out their kids' names in the altar begging God to save them. Didn't care who heard them praying. Didn't care that their kids sitting in the pew back there heard them call their name.
praying out loud, asking God to do something.
We've become so worldly and so cold, calloused, hard-hearted, that we don't have a burden anymore for lost souls. God help us. God help us.
The hearing of the Word of God. He said, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? You know, when we come to the house of God, we ought to give full attention to the Word of God. A man of God, a true man of God, before he gets in a pulpit, he'll get in touch with God. He'll ask God to give him a word. Not the word that he wants, but the word that God wants. And if God sends a word out, shouldn't we be listening to it? We don't need to turn a deaf ear to the Word of God. We need to be hearers of the Word and heeding the Word. Chapter 7 and verse 23, he said, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. You know, a lot of our troubles is brought on by our just neglecting what God has to say to us. Bullheaded, hard-hearted, don't want to turn loose our sin. Amen? You know, when God talks to me, when God speaks to me, it brings conviction. This book right here makes me see myself as God sees me. And you know what I am? A wretch. A wretch. And I have to get things right. I have to confess. But in this day of coldness and callousness, there's a lack of hearing. And there's a lack of heeding the Word of God. And there is a hardening. You know, the Word of God will either draw you to Him, or you can harden your heart, and you'll wind up going this way, further and further away from God. Dangerous place to be going backwards. Can't see where you're going backwards, can you? It's dangerous. Hardening. Verse 24, chapter 7 says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. You know what? You can't blame your evils on anybody else. You have a choice. And I have a choice. It says, they went backward, not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I've even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but listen to it, but hardened their neck and did worse than their fathers. That's a progression of getting worse. When you turn your back on God and harden your heart against the Word of God, it's a progression of getting worse and worse and worse. Sad condition. A day of compromise, a day of callousness, but thirdly, a day of covetousness. He said back in chapter number 6 right there, that in verse 13, he said, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given unto covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They were greedy. They were selfish. They were uncontent. Liars and cheats. You know why? All they thought about was me, me, me. Me, me, me. You know what we live in today?
Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, men in the days of apostasy, the last days, men would be lovers of themselves. That tells me there's no burden for our neighbor, no burden for our brother, our sister. It's just all about me. Lust, greed. And you know what was going on in that day is going on today. The priests of that day, they couldn't draw no crowd preaching truth. Amen? Jeremiah didn't have no big church. Jeremiah had a jail cell or a pit. But the priests done figured out, you know, through their lust for worldly things that, boy, if they just water down the word and if they just prophesy what the people wanted to hear, they could draw a big crowd. They could take up a big collection. And they could have, boy, they'd have it made. It was a day of covetousness, lust. That sound familiar to anybody? And they had a hard time with their listening too. It says they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, Paul tells us again over in 2 Timothy that in the last days, people would be turned to the truth, turned from the truth into fables. They'd heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Notice he didn't say preachers. He called them teachers. Because a preacher's going to preach the Word of God, I believe. A God-called man. But that day that the day that Paul was talking about is the day that we live in today. You know, Brother Kendra, he's one of the best preachers I've ever heard. But let me tell you something. If he sent his resume out to all the churches in Carroll County, I guarantee you, there'd be a lot of them saying, that's too hard for us. We don't want that. Amen. That's the day that we're living in today. Covetousness. But you know, the sad thing about it, you turn over into chapter number 8. The way that they were conducting themselves in that day, the priest and the people, living in lust and covetousness, just preaching what the people wanted to hear, just tickling their ears. They'd listen to all that ear-tickling stuff. But there was coming a day of lamenting. You see, there's a payday someday. And in Jeremiah 8, in verse number 18, he says this, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart's pain in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? Now notice this. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we're not saved. You see, God had drawn a line and they'd crossed it. Three times around here, God told Jeremiah not to even pray for them. You see, they'd done crossed their line. They were headed to judgment. They had rejected and rejected and rejected opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get right with God, to return to the old paths. But now the harvest is past. Summer is ended. We're not saved. Well, that's a sad verse, ain't it? Sad verse. Jeremiah, you know what Jeremiah was saying? Judgment is set. It's set. It's coming. Mercy is past. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. A day of covetousness. callousness, compromise, a lot like America today. But thank God it's a day of calling. You see, God always offers mercy before judgment. One of these days, for this old world, harvest is going to be passed. Amen. Those that are saved will be saved, and those that are lost will be lost. But I thank God that you can respond to God's call. God's call to mercy is going on today. We live in the day and age of grace and mercy. Though your sins be as scarlet, God says, no matter what you've done, come to me. I'll wash you white as snow. I'll accept you just as you are. Don't let harvest pass you up. Amen. Respond. Respond to God's call, or you have the option to reject God's call. God's not going to force Himself on anybody. Many a person's heard the call of God and felt conviction and resisted. Went away lost. Woke up in a devil's hell. You know, I didn't even intend for this message tonight to be for a lost person, but I feel like there's conviction in this house tonight. Brother David, would you come give us a song tonight of invitation? As a church, as a people, I think it'd do us good to examine ourselves, see if we've gone cold and calloused, see if we've compromised on this word right here, see if we're so covetous we're just caught up with the things of this old world. We need to repent. We need to get back to the old paths. Ask God to restore fellowship. The joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. What kind of life He wants us to have. And it comes through knowing Him and having full fellowship with Him.